From Isaiah, we are given these words, and you are given these words from the one who created you, the one who formed you. These words are, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." They sound like a cheesy love song, don't they? I mean, they're beautiful, beautiful words, but they sound like they should be a love song, like, Whitney Houston or something like that. They're good news, words of good news, and Isaiah gives them, the Lord gives them through Isaiah directly to you. They are singular in that. They are addressed intimately to you. But notice how those words begin. Do not fear. When we hear those words, we have to understand that those words, "do not fear," are given because the people had fear to begin with. It's like I should start my children's sermons like that. Hey, do not fear. I might get a little loud. It's okay. As it turns out, though, we do have a lot to be afraid of. And we are given these words with good reason. Though we hear God's promises in this passage, we are given a hint that there are dangers ahead of us. The Lord says that the first danger is water. When you pass through the waters. Now, throughout Scripture, water is often associated with chaos, with disorder. We think back to the Genesis account of creation, Genesis chapter 1, when God creates all things by the power of His Word, bringing things out of nothing. We hear this from Genesis 1, verse 2, that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In Genesis, we're giving this poetic description of what the nothingness that existed before God brought things into existence looked like. And the way they poetically describe this is as though it's a deep, dark water. It's a chaotic thing that God brings beauty and order into by His Word. The waters that Isaiah refers to are chaos. It is disorder. It is the crisis that are part of this world. And thinking about these things can cause us to fear. Right now, since 2001, we've been thinking about terrorism. That's been on the mind of this country, and that very word is the best definition for it, because that's exactly what they're trying to instill in us, right? Is fear and terrorism through tragedy, through chaos, through ugly things. We have a lot to be afraid of in this world. How anxious do you get when the fire whistle goes off? You get a little anxious. Do you have a little bit of fear? If not for yourself, for somebody else. Or how fearful do you become when you're waiting for test results for you, or maybe even more so for a loved one? Or does the prospect of a shooter coming into the school or into our church, does that give you fear? These are the waters that Isaiah speaks about that we're going to pass through. This is the chaos of the world. Think back to the flood that swallowed Old Town. I'm sure it felt like chaos, right? A lot of people were maybe afraid, if not for themselves, for their things, for their house, for the insecurity. This is the waters that Scripture speaks about. And there is much to be afraid of in this life. Isaiah addresses this. But water isn't the only thing. Chaos isn't the only thing in this world that could drive a person to fear. Isaiah also speaks of fire. And fire, in Scripture, I think is far more frightening than water. Fire in Scripture often depicts God's presence, but it depicts it in kind of a terrifying way. With God's presence comes judgment, comes His wrath over sin, His anger at sin. It comes His presence and His holiness, a holiness that nobody else can stand next to. Think of a hot, blazing campfire. You can't get too close because it burns, it hurts. Deuteronomy tells us that God is a consuming fire, one that we should be afraid of. Isaiah 33 says, "Sinners are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can dwell with the consuming fire?" Fire and water, these are the things that cause us to fear. The crisis and the chaos of the world outside of us, and the fire and the judgment upon us because of our own sin, because of our own ugliness. The verses that come right before our passage in Isaiah say this: "Was it not the Lord against whom we sinned, in whose ways they could not walk, in whose law they could not obey? So He poured on Him the heat of His anger. It set Him on fire all around. It burned Him up." As sinners, we should fear God. We should fear the judgment that is upon us as people who disobey the Lord. We cannot stand next to God. And so we have every reason to fear. We fear the water, we fear the chaos, we fear the fire, the judgment, the holiness of God Almighty. But to this, Isaiah speaks, and this is a big but. He speaks to both the water and the fire and says, "Do not fear." In fact, we hear this phrase, "Do not fear," we hear it twice in this passage. We first hear it in verse 1 where God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." On this Sunday, we think about the baptism of Jesus. This is the baptism of our Lord Sunday. We commemorate that point in which Jesus goes and He stands in the Jordan River and is baptized by John. And standing there, He is surrounded by other people, by sinners. And as He's baptized, it's not like Jesus is becoming clean. It's almost like He's becoming dirty with the sin of the people of this world. He is being baptized into our own sinful humanity. He's taking it upon Himself. But this isn't the only baptism that Jesus endures. He endures another one, a baptism of blood, where He goes to the cross for those He identifies Himself with. On the cross, Christ receives the full wrath of God for all the ugliness, the disgust, the horror, the shame of our sinful selves. He burns under the Lord's consuming, wrathful fire for you. And He does so on your behalf. So in Christ we hear the promise of the Lord, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. The flame shall not consume you." You have no cause to fear the fire of God, for Jesus Christ has taken it for you. And though the Lord saves us, saves those who believe in Him from the fire through His baptism of blood, and He whispers into our ears the words of verse 4 in Isaiah, where we hear, "You are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you." Words that we probably don't find anywhere else in Scripture. Those are powerful words. Though we hear those words through Jesus, we know still that the waters surround us. And so we hear in verse 5, "Do not fear, for I am with you." God promises not only to save you, to redeem you, but to be present with you. It's like the footsteps in the sand poem where the person is walking along and God is there and they see the footprints that God has been with them the entire time. Do not fear, for I am with you. Because for us, it isn't a question of if we're going to go through the waters. Isaiah says, when you go through the waters, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. They shall not overwhelm you. This morning, we have the words of promise from God that there is no cause to fear, for the Lord has redeemed you and the Lord is with you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for your presence, that you promise to be with us in all the chaos of this world, whatever trials we endure. We pray, Lord, that in our suffering you would draw us nearer to you, to be closer to you, to know you better. We thank you, Lord, too, that we have no cause to fear the consuming fire, that though you have judgment on sin, you also have love for us because we are precious in your sight. And through Jesus Christ, your Son, you have saved us, that upon him the wrath was taken. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who has saved us and is with us. We pray this in your name. Amen.